You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are locked on the Washington Football Team with the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm David Harrison, writer for SI.com's Fan Nation. He is Chris Russell, one half of the Russell and Medhurst Show on the Team 980, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and on the Odyssey app. We thank you for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms and on Twitter at WrestleMania621, DHarrison82, and LocksWFTPod. Coming here on a Victory Tuesday, as your burgundy and gold Washington football team advanced to 5-6 off the back of a 17-15 Washington football team win over the Seattle Seahawks in week 12, a score that literally nobody predicted. But you know what? If you took Washington on the even odds, you won. So it's a beautiful day, no matter how you carved it out or how you predicted it going. And Chris, I got to say, my biggest thought coming out of this game is that the Washington football team is appearing to learn how to win. And I go back to our early season conversations, even bleeding into what happened last season in the development of a team, right? As you develop a football team, especially from the ground floor, which is really what Ron Rivera has been doing, you got to first build a team that's going to compete for each other. They're not going to quit. They're not going to have the effort problems that we see across the NFL in so many situations, like you do sometimes in Houston, Jacksonville, the Jets of the world. That's kind of the first layer of building a franchise. Then you got to have a team that learns how to compete. And I mean, actually be into games and compete and potentially put themselves in a position to win. Then you got to learn how to win. Then you have to learn how to win consistently. Then you got to learn how to dominate. I think this team is in the phase where they're finally learning how to win. And I say that because over the last two games in this winning streak, they had really good games and a lot of things went pretty well. Taylor Heinicke didn't really have a lot of mistakes. He had a few bad throws here or there, but who doesn't? But he didn't really make a lot of critical mistakes, right? This game, a little bit different. This game, not as clean. A few more mistakes, a few more bad throws. Obviously, you have the interception. You have a couple of other errant throws. You have some other issues with injuries on the field, and the defense gives up some big plays. And I think that's an important step in the development of the team because when things don't go well for 60 minutes, it's important that a team understands how to dig out that win. And this game tonight is exactly the kind of game a team like this needs to move forward into the rest of their schedule.
You know, sometimes, David, you can win and you can win without style points, win without being pretty, win by showing, again, basically what you're talking about, a certain resiliency, a certain like, hey, we don't care how we do it. We just do it. And it may not look pretty and it may not be for everyone and it may not get everybody excited, but the bottom line is you get the job done. And that's what this team did on Monday night. Look, make no mistake about it. The Seahawks are better than a now 3-8 team. I don't know what's happened with Russell Wilson. That would be really scary to me if I was an NFL team potentially thinking about pulling the trigger on a Russell Wilson deal to get him out of Seattle and paying the bounty that Seattle is going to want. This is not a good Seahawks team. This is not a good Seahawks defense. And yet Washington gave them every opportunity to stay in this game. Maybe they got jobbed at the end on a fourth down touchdown. It was ruled a touchdown. It was reviewed. It was overturned. I don't agree with the call. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about the same way this game wound up, because subsequent to that, Seattle goes on a quick 96-yard drive and ties, well, we think gets in position to tie up the game, but then they throw an interception on the two-point conversion, and you think Washington's going to win 17-15, and ultimately they did, but not without drama in that they almost coughed up the onside kick, and they actually did, except Seattle lined up, I guess, illegally. I still don't quite understand the rule. And then Washington was able to recover it. And, you know, of course, iced the game. Listen, the bottom line is you'll take wins no matter which way you can, because every team's beat up, every team, you know, like team records and style points are not always what they seem in the NFL. But the bottom line is, you know, nobody should feel bad, if you will, about this win from a Washington football team perspective. You have to win games that maybe you don't have your absolute best. The thing that I would worry about moving forward, especially on a short week and maybe without a J.D. McKissick who got hurt and carted off against the Vegas Raiders this Sunday, is they're going to need to be a lot better in order to tie up their record at 6-6 and to put themselves potentially in a position to play for first place a week and a half from now at home against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, learning how to win, winning ugly and finding a way, it's important for the Washington football team to continue their development. And like you said, going up against the Las Vegas Raiders, right? A very wise coach I heard say once, it's a lot easier to learn from an almost lost than a loss. Because when you lose, players tend to go into and start questioning what is happening. And then you win. Well, now you start having some confidence. Now when your coaches are teaching you some of these things in the meeting rooms, you believe in it just a little bit more than you would have had you lost. So having some of these struggles, because I mean, everybody's going to be talking about this, right? The 5 straight 3-and-out possessions that the Seattle Seahawks had, and they had 6 3-and-outs in total. But Chris, the Washington football team had 4. You know what I mean? So Seattle only had 2 3-and-outs more than the Washington football team did. So really, when you look at it from the scope of that, how much better was the Washington offense in total? It really wasn't all that much better. Now, I would say they looked better in the execution during the good moments than Seattle did, even in their good moments. I would give them that. But again, coming out of this with a win, I mean, you have a 3-8 Seattle team completely demoralized going back to Seattle. Their coaches are going to try to coach them up, try to get them to shake out of this rut. And honestly, you're the coaches that have kind of helped us get into this rut in the first place. So how much are we going to lean on you? It's a huge difference. You're talking a difference of 2 games, 3-8 versus 5-6. That 2 games is such a massive separation at this point in the season.
Yeah, you feel like you can basically overcome mistakes, and by just digging a little bit deeper and believing each other and relying on each other. And you know, nothing is going to be perfect, right? And you know that there are, you know, every win is hard to get in this league, right? And that's why I did pick Washington to win on the go home episode. But you know, I didn't pick them in a one-sided affair. I think I picked them 24-21 or 23-20 or whatever it was. So it was even lower scoring than I thought it would be at 17-15. The bottom line is Washington had opportunities to convert on some third and shorts, and they didn't. They really, despite the final score being what it is, David, they dominate this game in a lot of ways, but yet they allowed Seattle to just kind of keep punching and to hang in there and to stay within one score. And then when they, you know, maybe got jobbed on a controversial fourth down touchdown, initially called the touchdown play, in which you thought, okay, that's the game. That gets taken away. And then Seattle comes, boom, right back and scores. But then they make a play. And again, so like you give up this big long drive and you have this coverage bust for the game, what we think is a game tying touchdown, but yet you come right back on the very next play, the 2-point conversion. And Russell Wilson, I mean, I'm staring at it live from the press box all the way at the other end, but through my binoculars, and Russell Wilson had nowhere to go. I mean, he's looking boom, 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 boom. He's maybe four or five reads in before he finds something that he thinks he likes. Yeah. And then Kendall Fuller steps in front and picks it up. So again, you give up something, you make a mistake, you have a negative, whatever you want to call it. You think the game is, you know, now in the, and then you still find a way to make a play. And that's what a winning team has to do. So the Washington football team wins 17-15 right here at FedEx Field. They'll take the Vegas Raiders on this Sunday in Las Vegas with a chance to go to 6-6. This is the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, along with David Harrison. I'm Chris Russell. Guys, in life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, and bound for rejuvenation. Or you may be bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at the poolside bar, maybe creating my own taco flight. And as long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be as happy as I can be. With beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. All right, thanks for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen each and every day. We are free and available on all platforms, along with David Harrison. I'm Chris Russell. Follow David at dharrison82. Read him on si.com's Fan Nation. And as well, you can follow me at WrestleMania621 on Twitter. Listen to me Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 with Pete Medhurst on Russell and Medhurst on the Washington Football Team's flagship station. Why don't we hit the voicemail, David? But my understanding is this is a voicemail that was left from Ryan in Virginia from before the game, yeah. But we're going to use it, obviously, to apply to what happened during the game. Right.
Hey, y'all. It's Ryan from Virginia. I listened to the crossover episode. It was real good. It's Monday morning. And so, yeah, obviously the game hasn't happened yet. Going to the game. Look, y'all, if y'all remember my previous call, what I say, the schedule is opening up. You know, something tells me I think we got this one. And you know what? We might not even have to, it might not even be a nail bite. They've lost 4 or 5. We've won our last 2. Against definitely one better team. And if Carolina and Seattle play tomorrow, I could see Carolina beating them. I heard they got injuries. Y'all said they got injuries at corner on the crossover. I'm optimistic. I'm going to say that we win this one going away 31-17. I've been a fan long enough to know that we don't win a lot of games like that, but I'm optimistic. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, that is our buddy Ryan from Virginia. He wasn't ultimately correct on the final score, but I liked the confidence and the excitement that I heard in his voice. Again, that was made before the game, David.
Monday morning we got that
I'll
call.
Share with you a couple of things that I've absorbed since the end of this game. Number one, sitting here in the press box outside, like the where the main exit out of the stadium is. There was, we hear after every game and especially wins here at FedEx Field, the band is, just the thunderous bass and all that stuff. This is the first time that I remember hearing, and certainly this loud, fans singing in unison, "Hail to the Redskins," right? And with the current team name and all that stuff. I mean, I have not personally heard that maybe one other time that I remember, after a home win, but maybe I'm just missing it. But I don't think so, because I usually am pretty aware of these type things. And then on top of that, Ron Rivera going nuts, leaving the field, going, "Let's bleep and go," yelling to the fans. And then in the locker room where they come up with this throwing of the stone thing, and Ron Rivera's again going bonkers, just trying to fire up his team, yelling at the top of his lungs. So to me, it is amazing how the season was basically DOA at the bye week. And 3 weeks later, 3 games later, 3 wins later, it is very, very much alive.
Yeah, nobody's really talking about draft position anymore, right?
Yeah, they
outside
should be.
Of, right, exactly. Yeah, outside of the what we were talking before recording, that was the Jets, Eagles, and what was the other
Jets,
team?
Giants, the and Giants? Then the Eagles would be basically
dominating
four,
the top 10 right
five.
Now.
The Jets would be 4-5. The Eagles would be 6-7, and the Giants would be 6-7, and then the Eagles would be 8-9. So it would be 4-5 Jets, 6-7 Giants, 8-9 Eagles. Boom, 6 Crazy. Picks in a row. How about that?
4 NFC East picks in the top 10, and they all belong to.
So
half
you
the
bet
division,
you so. Better start winning now. You better start racking up whatever you can, because they're coming. Inside the division.
The way some of those guys draft
them
will be
true.
All right.
That's true. But, I just wanted to share a couple of those little things just from firsthand perspective. In the lower bowl, which has been mostly filled all year long and very loud and very packed, those are the diehard, ardent fans of this team. And there are, they were very loud and very enthusiastic and very energetic, even early on, before a series started, chanting, Heinicke, Heinicke, this team still has the ability to wake up the echoes, if you will, to shake things up and to do what they are doing now, Will it continue? I don't know, but I can hear it in Ryan's voice. I can see it in Ron Rivera. I can see it in listening to some of the players and just being around people in the organization. You know, winning does not come easy in this organization, and it never has, or at least it hasn't for 30 years. And a 3-game winning streak sometimes feels like a 30-game winning streak.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. And then, yeah, you hear the voices of people like Ryan, the voices of people like Camion, who we're going to hear from here in just a little bit. And it makes you smile. You know what I mean? We go back to the preseason, the offseason, and, you know, we had some listeners calling in and telling us that they were, you know, excited, but a little cautious, and they didn't want to get too excited. And if you remember, I'm a champion of hype, man. Like, I love hype. And from a fan perspective, I think you absorb and exude all the hype you possibly can. Enjoy it while you have it. And I remember saying that during the preseason, enjoy all the excitement while you have it. Cause you know what, by October, we could be talking the NFL draft. And then we were talking NFL draft in October, but then in the middle of October again, and I keep going back to that article I wrote, but in that article I'm saying, look, by the end of November, we'd be talking playoff positioning. So you never know what's going to happen. And here we are. So Ryan and Virginia, Camion, everybody, like if you're ever going to have the opportunity to champion your team and to go out there and root and talk trash to other fans and all, it's right now. You know what I mean? You defeated the defending Super Bowl champs. You defeated Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks. And I got a lot of people are doing that right now, but nobody expected the Seahawks to be in the position they are. So you are a part of keeping them kind of down there or whatever. You ruined Cam Newton's homecoming. Hang your hat on those things, because again, you know, by the end of December, it could all go away. We'd be talking about which quarterback is the team going to draft. Hopefully not. Hopefully we're talking about playoffs. But if we're not, then enjoy this moment while you have it. And if you're confident in your team continuing forward and you're confident Taylor Heinicke can continue to lead this team to victory. I mean, today, 27 for 35, 223 yards, a touchdown, interception, 90.5 quarterback rating. Not the best quarterback rating of his career, because he breaks this streak of having career games. But you know what? Good enough to get his team the win. And again, like I mentioned before, if you took the even odds for the Washington football team to beat Seattle Seahawks, you made some money. And hopefully you did so over at betonline.ag, because they had you covered for this Monday night football game. They're going to have you covered for Thursday night football, week 13, and moving on with all the props, odds, and lines that you could ever want for the football season as we continue to move towards the NFL playoffs. BetOnline.ag is your number one spot for all your sports action this season. So head to that website on your desktop or your mobile phone. Sign up today and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code LOCKEDON. Just for being a listener of this show, you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that promo code LOCKEDON. If you don't want football action, they got basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC. They've got your favorite Vegas casino games too. Don't wait. Take advantage of everything available for 2021. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, guys, wrapping up this Victory Tuesday episode of the Locked On Washington football team. Your Washington football team defeating the Seattle Seahawks 17-15, advancing to 5-6, seventh place overall in the NFC playoff race. Chris Russell and David Harrison on Twitter at WrestleMania621, at DHarrison82, the show at Locked WFT Pod. Chris, I mentioned Camion. Let's hear from him now.
Man, this Camion, first off, prayers for a speedy recovery for McKissick, played a big part in this win. I mean, this game was just not nose football. Running down the throats, defense played great game until the end. Oh, that was scary. I don't care if it's a low-scoring game. A win's a win. David, you called it. I am excited because I got my shipment from Built Bar. White chocolate cheesecake. Ooh-wee. Lemon drop cheesecake. Y'all ain't tried it. Oh, my God. It's delish. That caramel almond delight. I know, Rooster, you was talking about that one. That's that. Man, I feel like Built Bar finally heard me, all the emails I've been sending to them, and even the ruby chocolate, which is like a fruity kind of chocolate. It's not like regular chocolate. It's a fruity chocolate. I can eat that too. Oh my God. I'm loving it. Love the win. Love Built Bar. Thank you. I'll holler at y'all. Peace.
Oh man, Camion all fired up about Bill. I don't know if he's more fired up about a third straight win for the Washington football team or his shipment of Built Bar. Either way, David, yeah, good stuff there out of our pal Camion. One thing that I'll real quickly add about what he started off his call with was an update on J.D. McKissic. And this is not official, and you should take it with a grain of salt, but his agent, Doug Hendrickson, who I've known for a while, not well, but I know, you know, we've had some dealings. He told media or tweeted out or whatever it was, that J.D. McKissic, who was carted off, of course, in the fourth quarter, after taking a knee to the head, is quote unquote all good, whatever that means. All good was the quote from Doug Hendrickson, his agent. Now, clearly, he's been in contact with J.D. McKissic. Again, I thought it was a good thing that J.D. McKissic was getting, tapped on his helmet and on his shoulder on the cart, right? Even though he was carted off, you know, generally, if there was a neck injury, he wouldn't have sat up, that type of thing, which he eventually did. He still may miss this Oakland game. Who knows? Or I should say the Vegas game, Oakland. He still may miss the Vegas game, but at least you feel like, maybe there's a chance, even on a short week, that he can recover. J.D. McKissic was obviously a huge factor, and that's going to lead us into our plays of the game and player of the game. And if you want to just skip ahead to player of the game, I'll tee you up right here because it's who we were just talking about.
Yeah, my player of the game is J.D. McKissic, and I think, you know, for a lot of good reasons. And shout out again to Camion. That was his player of the game heading into the game. And to be completely fair, J.D. McKissic, one of my players of the game every week because he's on my fantasy roster. So I was very happy with what J.D. McKissic did on the field in this game. 12 touches, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns, helping me out a lot in a season that a lot of running backs have gone out to injury. Of course, Christian McCaffrey, one of the latest for the Carolina Panthers. But yeah, a lot of good stuff, but it's not just the amounts, right? So, I mean, 12 touches, not, you know, the biggest amount of touches in the world, 56 yards, not going to blow the socks off anybody. 2 touchdowns is obviously great, but it's the quality of them, right? Not only, and I tweeted this during the game, J.D. McKissic is more than just a backup running back. Like he's a spell man. He's a guy that you can come in there and you look at last week when Antonio Gibson had the fumble. If you need to kind of prove a point, just drill it through someone's head and shout out to Antonio Gibson. You saw him today mentally go through tucking the ball away again, right? So obviously the message is getting through to a certain extent, but JD is a guy that can come in and he can offer you a little bit of a different dynamic than what Antonio brings, but he can also bring you a lot of the same, and they can just create a two-headed monster. So when you need to melt the clock, when you need to control the ball, when you need to control the line of scrimmage, you've got two backs that are capable of helping you do that. Now it's not always successful, and I'm sure that's a conversation we're going to get into as we get further into the week, especially that short yardage game. I know I want to talk about it, so tomorrow it definitely will be coming up. But for what they bring to the field, you've got two very capable backs in a league that a lot of teams are barely scratching the surface trying to find one.
My player of the game is going to be that other running back in Antonio Gibson. 29 carries for 111 yards, no touchdowns, a long of 17, but 7 targets, 7 catches, 35 yards. I believe both the 29 carries and the 7 catches, I'll have to double check this, David, and we just haven't had time. I believe both individual career highs in the brief, you know, less than 2-year career of Antonio Gibson. But again, no fumbles. Did a good job with ball security. I saw him carrying it differently tonight than I saw him in the second half. I saw less of that swinging cradle and more holding it high and more, you know, snug, if you will, in his arm and closer to his body. So that was good. So I'll go with Antonio Gibson for my player of the game. And my play of the game is a play in a sequence that I've already mentioned a couple of times, but I'll do it officially here. Kendall Fuller's interception in the back of the end zone on the 2-point conversion, which ultimately saves this from being a 17-17 and perhaps overtime game, is my play of the game. I mean, obviously there's many, many, many plays that you could go with and many sequences, but that essentially saves the game. And Russell Wilson had time to again get to at least his fourth read, maybe even his fifth read, and Kendall Fuller still found a way to hold on and jump in front of a desperation pass from Russell Wilson. So kudos to Kendall
Fuller. An underrated thing, staying in coverage for that long is very difficult to not lose somebody, so a very, very important thing to point out there. So I'm glad you did. My play of the game, Taylor Heinicke, His touch 10-yard touchdown pass to J.D. McKissic, my player of the game. Of course, the extra point is blocked and returned for 2 points by Seattle, so it kind of diminishes the shine on the play a little bit. But why it's the play of the game for me, Seattle, one of the better. I think they're six in the NFL right now in red zone defense. Washington football team dead last in the NFL in red zone offense. So to get a red zone touchdown, just your second trip into, like, they got into the red zone once, settled for a field goal. A lot of people weren't okay with it. I was okay with it just because this is such a tough red zone defense. That second time you get in the red zone, you get it into the end zone. I think that was a huge moment for this team to show them that, look, even against their strength, we can be successful. So imagine what we can do against their weaknesses. That was a huge moment. Would have been bigger if it weren't for the blocked extra point. Hopefully Joey Sly is okay. I think that's kind of an underrated injury that we need to wait on.
I was going to say that's maybe even a bigger question.
Yeah, because you can't bring Chris Blewett back. I mean, we've already seen that. You can't bring him back. I don't know how many other guys are sitting out there. But real quick before we wrap up, Chris, Washington football team running backs accounted for 61% of touches in this game. That shows you how big the running backs were for the Washington football team on Monday night.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. By the way, clearly season high for Antonio Gibson in terms of carries at 29, and also a career high as I look back at all of last year's numbers. The last year's highest number was 20 in a game, so he easily smashed that. So career high as I thought for Antonio Gibson, and we'll get, you know, the official number on the pass receiving. Again, 7 targets, 7 catches for 35 yards. Pedestrians to some degree, but solid in that area. All right, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Of course, for David Harrison, who is covering the football team, PressHot.com's Fan Nation, I'm Chris Russell, one half of the Russell and Medhurst Show on the Team 980. As always, we remind you we are free and available on all platforms, and we invite you to make your second list of the day, the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, and expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. If you want to hop in on the voicemail line, it's 301-615-3577, 301-615-3577. That's going to do it for us. Back with more content throughout the week. Short week, Vegas Raiders this Sunday with a chance to go to 6-6 for the Washington football team, who beat the Seattle Seahawks here at FedEx Field, 17-15, your final score. Thanks for being with us on this Victory Tuesday edition of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.